U.S. factory activity slowed amid a fall in new orders.
Based on hitting a shareholder value. As market capitalization raises, he won't
get any.
They're
going a lot more global, so creating more programming not only for, you know, us here in the English-speaking U.S., but elsewhere as well.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN.
And here we are in the Allstate Skyline studio. Welcome to Friday afternoon. The weekend is almost here. It was a short week for a lot of us on this Labor Day week. We're going to go to Oak Brook, as I said earlier, a little bit later in the program, and talk about what they're trying to do to come up with a plan to replace McDonald's, the corporate headquarters there, and elsewhere. They're sort of giving all of their commercial development a relook, and we'll check in on that a little bit later. The jobless numbers came out. Mark Hamrick from Bankrate will be here to talk about that and talk about how maybe your wages are going up. But we start on Fridays generally with Andrea Haynes. She is the editor of Blue Sky and the content editor for Red Eye. Is that, did I put that well?
Sort of.
Well, what do I say?
You know, we're in changing mode over there.
Oh,
we've got all kinds of stuff going on.
Okay,
no, you're right. I do supervise Red Eye. I wouldn't say I'm the content editor exactly, but I supervise the team that
does
the content.
Well, let me ask you a better question.
I'm their boss.
Do you only work in colors?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got Blue Sky.
I refuse to work on anything that does not
Red
have a
Eye.
Primary color associated with it.
Okay, well, we'll just stick with that. Next week, it'll be smoother. Welcome back. Will you come back next week?
Of course.
Okay, so you sent me a few stories that maybe that we could talk about, and I want to talk, you know, and sometimes you send a fun one that we would end with and things like that. And I wonder if the idea for this rage room was something you thought might be the fun one at the end. The more I read it, the more I thought, I want to spend some time on this story.
It's a talker, isn't it? It is a business, but there's a lot more to it than that. And
so
it's definitely a talker.
Tell me about it.
Yes, our Metro Desk wrote this story, actually. It's about a new business in Chicago. It's called the Rage Room. It's in River North, and it's kind of considered an entertainment venue.
Now, I swear that this story, there was something like this was around. It might have been 10 years ago, and it was in Beverly or in the South Side. Am I right? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I don't remember that, but okay. It well could have been. It sounds like it's not necessarily a brand new concept.
And so this was maybe in someone's garage, and they would charge people. But you go to the Rage Room, they set up a room for you. It's like a sexual fantasy thing. I mean, you could create what you want to rip up, whether it's TV or this one guy wanted to pop balloons or break dishes, but you go in this room with sledgehammers or baseball bats and you just tear things to shreds, right?
Yeah, it allows you to get your rage out. Maybe it's when that great relationship ends, or it's the day you get laid off from your job, or it's, you know, whatever, you've got something inside you that needs to come out. You can go there and they make it, you know, safe for you. Like, you're wearing safety equipment. It's a safe space and you can just smash whatever you feel the need to smash.
Okay, so I got that far and I'm thinking, okay, this is kind of fun. And then I read mental health experts say, well, it's not really the right thing because, you know, you should be looking inward at your thoughts, not expressing them. And when I read that first graph, I'm like, well, you're missing the point. This is fun. And then I read further, and it really has become this, right, where there was a story, I don't know if it was Lupe talking one in Chicago or Lupa, the owner here, about a woman who tore things up, and at the end she said that her son had just committed suicide.
Yeah.
And so people really are using this as a genuine stress relief.
Yeah, people are using it for real pain, it sounds like, which you can definitely imagine in that scenario. That's not the beginning and end of what you need to do for your mental health, right? In a situation like that. I get it I feel the same way, right? Like, I feel like, is this bad? Like, and should we even be encouraging people to physically express their, you know? But I do feel like some people, for example, are criers, right? I'm not a crier. I might be more likely to, like, get angry than burst into tears.
Right.
So I guess if you are like that, this might just be at least a start in the process. It's sort of a pseudo fun way of maybe going with your friends and getting out that pent up feeling, and maybe that's step one of what you need to be doing for yourself.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I don't know. I mean, if it's a release, or I mean, I can see it being a breakup party.
Yeah, and then you might want to smash something in particular, right? Maybe it's a picture of the person, or it's like an object that holds meaning that you particularly want to smash that object.
Okay, that's another thing that I don't really like, though, that they offer busts of President Trump.
Yes, they do.
$8.
So you pay a minimum of $15 to be there. You can bring your own item, but they also have objects that you can pay for the privilege of smashing, which includes your little Trump bust.
Yeah, that's too bad. I don't like that idea. I'm all for breaking up a Sony Trinitron, but I don't think we should be destroying real people's heads.
Yeah.
But so it's the Rage Room, and there's one here now. They're expanding, right? And it's an idea that's, I don't want to say sweeping the country, but it started in Dallas, and more of them are around.
Yeah, it does sound like there may be more. So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, it sort of screams of something that will probably come and go. And like you said, maybe 10 years from now, we'll be talking about it again a new version of it will be coming and going.
Okay, so I know you wear safety equipment and all that, but if you're crashing in glasses and dishes and you do cut yourself and just a drop of blood comes out, you could get a complete blood test with Theranos.
That's a segue of the year, Steve. I'm going to congratulate you right here on the air for that one. Yes, Theranos, which we talk about every once in a while as they've kind of unraveled. This is a fascinating story. There's a book on it right now by the Wall Street Journal reporter.
You just read the book, right?
All of this news. Yeah. Yes, it's called Bad Blood, and I actually did the audiobook. I keep recommending it because it's absolutely fascinating. You will learn so much about the startup world. And
this woman was a rock star in Silicon Valley. I think she's Joe Manchin's daughter, right? The West Virginia senator? I'll have to look on that. I don't want to be wrong on that. But they sort of fudged their... They said they developed a blood test that only needed a drop, not vials like now. Raised billions of dollars? And yeah,
they raised a ton of money. And yes, the idea was that you can just use like the tiniest drop of blood to do various blood tests that typically require much more of a quantity of blood to do. And Elizabeth, who is the founder of this company, said that she had this terror of needles, and that was part of the sort of myth around this whole company.
Elizabeth Holmes.
Exactly.
I mean, you can see where if she was right, this would be revolutionary, but it turns out she wasn't right.
And, yeah, so it's just like the idea is revolutionary. The problem is they couldn't execute on it. So it's kind of mind-blowing because it's like this thing just kept going and they kept getting money and companies like Walgreens bought into this idea and like it grew and they were doing more tests. It's just to watch it unfold has been absolutely fascinating because they just could not do what they said they were doing.
And she now and her partner, I think, are facing criminal charges.
They're facing really serious criminal charges. Walgreens sued them in a suit that was ultimately settled, so it has definitely unspooled. And so what happened this week was that now they've officially given up on the company, which seems a long time coming almost,
right.
But it's, you know, the beginning of the end, or maybe it's the end of the end of that saga.
Andrea Haines, read more at Blue Sky. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great weekend.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, on 720 WGN. As promised, he was in the green room, and now he is in the Allstate Skyline studio. Adam Ochstein is here, the founder and CEO of StratX. Welcome back to the Biz Lunch, Adam.
Thank you. It's a little bit longer commute for me today than it normally was.
Is this your first visit?
It is. You guys haven't invited me. I'm not on the circuit, I don't think.
No, you are, but you're just on the extended circuit.
Got it.
You're not on the short list. All right, tell me first a little bit about StratX.
We provide HR software and services for primarily restaurant, hospitality, gray-collar workforce.
How does ShiftGig impact what you do?
I think ShiftGig's a great concept. I think it's awesome. I think that the gig economy is here. It's going to be here to stay. And I think that they serve a nice niche for that transitional worker.
All right. You weren't expecting that question.
No, but it's a good question.
It's so funny because, you know, when our kids were younger, my wife would always say, summer doesn't have to end when the kids go back to school. And we're like, okay, we can make it keep going. Summer doesn't have to end when Labor Day comes. Labor Day comes, this week is ending now, and man, it's like we live in a different world.
It's
just a turn of the switch. Why is that?
I think we're programmed at a very young age that when Labor Day hits, it's time to get serious again. Like, summer break's over. Your wife's kind of wrong. Don't tell her that.
No, we try every year. We never succeed. And it's the same way in the corporate world, right?
I think so. You know, August, people take, you know, that's their vacation months is August. I think the mindset, since we're programmed at a young age, is when school's back in session, I got to get studious and serious again. So I think that summer, let's kind of take it casual. People get in that mindset of there's, you know, a third of the year left.
Right.
Let's, whatever our corporate goals were, let's hit our corporate goals.
Now, Andrea Haines, who was just in here, talked about it too. She said, you know, everyone kept saying, we'll meet after Labor Day.
Yeah.
And here it is. Okay. So thinking of myself, I always kind of liked this time of year. I like going back to school. So I would get revved up to get things done.
Right.
Is that the way? I mean, if you're running an office, you've got to try to encourage that, or there might be people trying to keep the summer going.
Absolutely. I mean, endless summer, right?
Right. Beach Boys.
Beach Boys. So, I mean, I think the notion of if you break the year up into thirds, not even quarters, into thirds, so you have that first third of the year, let's get out of the gates good.
Right.
And then the second third of the year is, okay, we're going
to
cruise.
We'll go to the beach.
We'll go to the beach, we'll cruise, and now let's finish strong. And I think that Labor Day mindset post-Labor Day is, let's finish the year strong, let's get back to business, let's get back working. I'll meet you after Labor Day.
All right, so how do you do that?
I think there's a couple things you can do. I think you can meet as a team or as an organization and recast goals if they need to be recast, remind people of their goals and talk about things that you want to accomplish between. You know, it really is a sprint. I mean, you break it down from Labor Day to Thanksgiving and then Thanksgiving to Jan 1, it's two sprints.
And then it's over.
And then it's over.
All right, so you reconfigure, you re-sort of energize everyone and get them going.
Yep.
Adam Ockstein is the CEO and the creator of StratX. Nice for coming by. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
And you have to come by more often, not just once every time we move studios.
I would love that.
All right, it's the Wintrust Business Lunch on 720 WGN. Thanks very much, Kim Gordon. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch, sponsored by Wintrust, Chicago's bank, here on 720 WGN. All right, Mayor Emanuel announcing earlier this week that he is leaving, and one of the things the mayor has done, more certainly than Mayor Daley before him, was to reach out to the suburbs and bring these companies that had maybe started in the city and moved out to the burbs, bring them back in. I live in Deerfield. I've seen it time after time, and they certainly are feeling that in Oak Brook as well, where McDonald's headquarters, a lot of talk about McDonald's leaving Oak Brook and coming into the city of Chicago. So if you're in Oak Brook, what do you do about that? David Carlin is in the studio. He's the president and CEO of Economic Development Partnership of Greater Oak Brook. Also, Mina Lam is here. She is a design principal at Lucien Lagrange Studio, and we will talk about their project in just a minute. But let's start with David. David, welcome to the Wintrust Business Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
Tell me, right, was the replacement of the McDonald's sort of impetus in Oak Brook, is that what prompted this idea to look all over again at the economic development in Oak Brook?
Yes, in 2007, Oak Brook adopted a commercial areas revitalization plan, and currently they're in the process of adopting a new commercial areas revitalization plan governing all of the commercial development in the community.
So I didn't know too much about Oak Brook until I started reading this. I mean, I knew about McDonald's and I knew about Polo. Okay, very little about Polo. But I didn't know that Oak Brook doesn't have a property tax.
They don't. It's one of the terrific things about Oak Brook, and it's a thriving community and the commercial area. So Oak Brook Center and the various office buildings, provide retail sales tax, property taxes. That
so you're getting so much money from
services
there that you don't need to individually tax people.
Exactly. So it's a great reason for businesses to locate to Oak Brook and residents as well.
8,000 people live there?
Yes.
And are they mostly, is there upper end when it comes to economic?
Socioeconomically, it's individuals with higher net worths, larger homes.
Are they all estates? That's what I think of. Are they all estates?
The designer of Oak Brook, Paul Butler, he did have a vision for polo fields, open space, large lots, big houses.
I actually was in Kilkenny, I think. Is it Kilkenny? In Ireland, and saw Butler Castle, which was the descendant of Paul Butler who went to Oak Brook. Okay,
yeah.
So here we are, this village without property taxes, a big economic impetus. McDonald's is leaving. You guys, is it that you're trying to figure out how to make up some money, or you're just looking to the future, or why is this redesign?
I think both the village officials of Oak Brook and the business community and the residents all see a bright future for the community, and they recognize that with McDonald's leaving, it creates opportunities for development.
There's a lot of land there.
There is. Both the Hamburger University that was McDonald's, their plaza property right across from the mall, and they also McDonald's had a soccer field that they had planned to build a larger corporate office at sometime down the road and decided to move into the city. So,
in the middle of the night, do you ever wake up cursing Mayor Emanuel?
Not at all.
No?
Not at all. McDonald's was terrific for Oak Brook while they were there, but we're looking forward to the new developments and the future
of
Oak
Brook. So is this redesign aggressive or is it defensive? You understand my question?
Yes. I think if you look at the overall commercial areas revitalization plan that was passed by a committee And then it goes through the village's zoning process, and then ultimately the village board will decide if they want to adopt what's a blueprint kind of for the community for the next 5, 10, 20 years of things that they'd like to see happen. It is similar to the plan that was adopted in 2007, and it takes into consideration things like having mixed-use developments, which would provide residential right close to the Oakbrook Center. And interestingly for Oakbrook, they're high-end condos that they're talking about.
Sure. How does it benefit a government to have a plan like this?
I think that most people in business will tell you that you have to have a long-term plan, you have to have a strategy, and if you don't, you fall behind.
If you just take what comes, it's not going to work out so
well. Not going to work out at all.
Okay, Mina Lam is here. She's the design principal at Lucien Lagrange Studio. Mina, welcome to the Biz Lunch.
Thank you, Steve.
And that brings us to you. And you have an idea for, is it a condo development?
It's a condo development. We're, you know, at our firm for the last few years, we're seeing that there's an unmet demand in the suburbs for a luxury product. A building with full building amenities and the infrastructure in place for technology. So, you know, not really with Oakbrook. I mean, we're seeing this in Winnetka. There's the buyers are, they don't want to maintain this large property. They want to be closer to their families and friends and their country clubs and their grandchildren, and they don't want to deal with the traffic of coming downtown. So they're looking for a product without leaving. And I think it's more about being part of a community and maybe being active in the community. A project we're doing in Winnetka, you know, it's adjacent to the train station. The village hall is down the street. The library is with the walking distance. It's that fabric that I think is missing here.
So it's interesting to me because I hear about those, and I know I think Downers Grove has a development, not the same perhaps, but that to attract millennials, condos and apartments near suburban rail stations to attract millennials. You're talking about the generation older, right?
The market that we're after, that we're looking at, is really the very high end market,
right.
which is you know what Lucien Lagrange and the firm is known for in the Gold Coast and Michigan Avenue, Waldorf Astoria, the Ritz Carlton.
But these aren't people so much close to trains to get into town. These are people who want to enjoy the amenities of being out of town.
Correct.
Yeah.
These are there's also an aging population in these more affluent neighborhoods. And it's that what I describe, a sense of community. I know there's millennials that are, you know, attracted to this as well because they want to start to raise a family in the suburbs. What we're seeing, you know, in Skokie, another suburb, is that with these developments, it's really to revitalize. Maybe it's a catalyst for revitalizing their downtown.
Okay, so here's the rub then in Oakbrook, because we talked about no property taxes. 8,000 residents. There's some opposition because I think there's a member of the city council, I know it's been refuted by others, who says that, look, if we bring in all of these people, more people, it's going to require more city services, and that might actually bring a property tax to Oakbrook. How do you answer that, David?
I think that, whenever you have change, there's folks that are a little bit apprehensive, but the this project that we're talking about, the Butler, there's tons of people that are excited about it. The Chamber of Commerce supports it, and we're very fortunate to have companies like Ace Hardware, Inland Real Estate, Oakbrook Center, of course, LK Manufacturing, large companies that like to see these opportunities that are coming from McDonald's relocation.
It seems to me that that area is places that people are outside of and drive into. You're re-envisioning this to where people might actually be there and move out a little bit. Right?
Completely. The town's 8,000 residents currently, just over 8,000, and it depends on who you talk to, the estimate of somewhere in the ballpark of 60,000 to 80,000 people that come into Oakbrook
on
a daily basis to go to the Oakbrook Center to work and, to enjoy all that Oakbrook has to offer.
So how much different will Oakbrook be 20 years from now than it is today?
I think if Paul Butler was alive today, he was kind of like Chicago's Daniel Burnham, he would be embracing the opportunities like we have with the Butler and other projects, and he would have a vision for the future. And it's going to remain in that you're going to have the terrific residential communities that you still have, but in order for Oakbrook Center, it's extremely vibrant now, but to keep it vibrant and to keep, you know, the business and commercial areas vibrant.
David Carlin and Mina Lam, thanks very much for coming by. I deserve a little credit. Only one Polo Pony joke in the whole segment. It's the WinTrust.
Thank you, Steve.
It's the WinTrust Business Lunch.
Start the timer, because here's the WinTrust Business Minute, sharing and examining Chicago business news of the day. If you've been out to lunch recently downtown, chances are you've ended up at a food hall once or twice. And now, Willis Tower is joining in on the food trend. Urban Space is a pop-up market company that's helping build out the Willis Tower Food Hall. And in case you were wondering, the difference between a food court and a food hall is that a food court is usually made up of chain restaurants like Taco Bell's, McDonald's, Sbarro, and a food hall has a mix of artisan or entrepreneurial restaurants that fill the slots because of the low square footage rental price. So from a business perspective, as a barrier to entry for a restaurant, it's a great way to gauge the market interest into a very competitive industry. And speaking of the restaurant industry, one of Chicago's most respected former restaurants, Grace, closed last year, but its replacement has now been announced. Yujin is the new Japanese spot taking Grace's place, and it will be led by an all-female team with the brains of the kitchen coming from Mari Katsumura. This is huge stuff because no doubt this industry is still largely male-dominated. But the times, they are a change. I'm Bennett Wakenight, and that's your WinTrust Business Minute.
The number of the week this week is 20,000, as in 20,000 Mercedes-Benz vans. Amazon is buying them, 20,000 vans. They are meant to help the company rely less on the Postal Service and FedEx, and maybe to encourage other people to create small businesses to deliver Amazon packages. So 20,000 vans heading to Amazon. Today was a good day. That's Ice Cube, and the name of the song certainly relies on or reflects on this day. The jobless number's out. Mark Hamrick is here from Bankrate.com. 201,000 jobs. Not too shabby, right? Mark, welcome back to the Business Lunch.
Great to be with you. No ice on this jobs report, but this is a good jobs report overall. Obviously, the unemployment rate remains steady at 3.9%. More importantly, though, number of jobs added top 200,000 by a hair, and the average over the previous 3 months, 185,000. And I'm sure, as you've noticed or discussed, the wage component of this report, which admittedly is just one data point, there are other more elegant ways to look at the question, but within this report, average hourly earnings are up 2.9%, and that's the best showing for that since June of 2009.
You know, and I'm no expert, Mark. You're the expert, but I keep talking about the fact that looking at wages as businesses benefit from tax cuts and all of that, and the experts say, yeah, the wages will come up. As you said, this is just 1 month, but are we finally starting to see that development?
Well, obviously, by virtue of this and some other measures, we've seen the Employment Cost Index, which captures other forms of compensation, including benefits, make an equal move higher. And I think, you know, what you're touching on there is probably a broader discussion about whether the benefits of the tax cut were, let's say, fair for all concerned, and whether the benefits may have been, let's say, promoted, I would say, too enthusiastically about the benefits to workers. Because I think we've seen that share buybacks have really been the way that money's been applied. That benefits investors, so yay for investors. Maybe workers are getting a piece of that.
All right, wages certainly should be important. Research and development. I'd like to see more money spent on R&D as well, not necessarily just on tax buybacks. So these numbers show that the bosses aren't very concerned about the tariffs, or do they not? I know manufacturing jobs dipped.
Well, I think there's a great deal of concern. The question is, how much has it yet moved into the real economy? And the answer is, we don't see tremendous signs of that in the United States yet. But, for example, as we mentioned the other day, Challenger Grain Christmas is seeing some job cut announcements, so it remains to be seen in the industrial sector whether those show up as actual job cuts. And if one were to spend time, but we'll do the translation for people, looking at the surveys from the Institute for Supply Management, from the Federal Reserve's Beige Book, they are replete with commentary referring to the uncertainty that's been generated by trade disputes and tariffs. And there are real impacts such as the rising costs of steel and aluminum. By the way, we saw car or automobile manufacturing employment decline in this report. So the cost of making a car in the U.S. is going up because of the effect of metals prices. So I do think that we want to watch what's happening in manufacturing and the goods producing sector, because the goods producing sector has been a stellar performer over the last 12 months, and we'd really hate to lose that momentum because of all this.
Mark Hamrick, the senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. Thanks very much for your insight.
It's always my pleasure. Have a great weekend.